San Francisco is close to banning the sale and distribution of e-cigarettes. City supervisors voted unanimously to approve the measure yesterday. It still requires another vote before it becomes law. But San Francisco would become the first city in the U.S. to ban the sale of e-cigarettes, and it's doing it to try to reduce vaping by kids. 1 in 5 high schoolers used e-cigarettes in 2018. That's according to the Centers for Disease Control. And it's a 78% increase over the previous year. Now, when kids are caught vaping in high school, they usually get in trouble. But even with the threat of punishment, e-cigarettes remain a major problem. So some school administrators want to treat vaping as an addiction, not just bad behavior that needs to be punished. And we're joined now by one of them. Raymond Manca is the principal at Stamford High School in Stamford, Connecticut. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hello, and thank you for having me on the program.
Well, and tell us what you have been doing in your school to deal with students who are caught using e-cigarettes on campus.
Well, Stamford High School, like many schools in Connecticut and around our nation, are really experiencing what you might want to call a plague. And it's pervasive. It's everywhere, from middle school to high school and perhaps even at the earlier ages. But it's something that we just can't sit on our hands anymore. We've got to be a bit more proactive. I think what really set Stamford High School apart at the end of this school year is we were leaving a football game, and I happened to see two of the visiting athletes getting on the bus to depart, and they happened to be sharing this vape pen, and my mouth fell open. And for these two student athletes who had just competed so, you know, hard, and it didn't make a difference. You know, they're addicted to these chemicals and it's nicotine, and we have to do something more than just punish with detentions and in-school suspension. We've got to be able to come up with advanced education, preventative measures, and cessation programs similar to what we did with tobacco and cigarettes earlier in the 80s and the 90s.
So have you done that there in Stamford?
So we're in the process of doing that right now, and we're noticing that our code of conduct for tobacco, nicotine, and vaping, it's very limited in regards of what it does besides being punitive. There's nothing prescriptive. So we asked for volunteers at Stamford High School, our student body, to join us on a quest to collect some data about what needs to change, what we need to focus on, and what we need to do for our students. And we're in the process of collecting that data right now.
Do the students themselves feel that they are addicted?
Yes. So we've got a school culture climate survey that we do regularly through Stamford Public Schools, and it's been on the steady rise over the last 3 to 4 years where students are contributing that there is a problem in and amongst their student body.
And do they feel that it is your responsibility as the school to help them deal with that problem?
Well, I feel it's my responsibility as a school, and I feel that it's my responsibility not just as an educator or, you know, the primary teacher or principal of Stamford High School. I'm the parent to these children, you know, these nearly 2,000 children every day. While I solely can't do this by myself, there definitely has to be a partnership. And that partnership includes us educating parents, us educating them through some seminars where we can have prevention and education programming, not just for our students, but also for our families. We absolutely need to let people know what is vaping, what are the dangers of vaping, cardiovascular disease associated with nicotine use. Just because it's easier to use doesn't mean it's any more safe in regards of the long-term and lasting negative side effects that we could develop in our next generation of youngsters.
Well, and one of the issues and one of the problems is with vaping is that it's so new that there really isn't that much research about what it does. We heard yesterday from one of the researchers who's looking into what kind of effects are being seen from vaping devices. And he's using some of the older products because the Juuls have only been around for so long. So it's difficult to see exactly what they do. Are you hearing from any students or any parents that they're not bad for the students?
No, I haven't heard any instances or argument from any students or parent or guardian stating that there's no negative side effects. At the end of the day, the most basic review of this, you are ingesting chemicals into your body, and your body is processing those chemicals, and specifically nicotine. So while you might be removing some other additives that could potentially be causing lung cancer or whatever else, there's flavor additives that need to be considered here. And these chemicals have the availability now to mess up and interfere with our biological processes. So it's something that we need to be cognizant of. It's something that's my responsibility. It's our school's responsibility to raise education and awareness, not just with the young people, but with the adults as well. And we really need to get away from punitive and come up with a bit more prescriptive means to address this.
What are you hearing about why students start vaping in the first place?
Well, what I've been hearing about vaping is similar to any other type of drug. There's a lot of peer pressure that comes from it. I have heard and spoke directly to students who say, you know, when I first started, it gave me a buzz. It made me lightheaded. It was a rush. But then as I started to use it more frequently, you know, to get that feeling went away, but then I was addicted to those chemicals. So the psychological and the physiological dependency on nicotine is very serious. And once others see how cheap it is, how readily available it is, how quite likely it's easy to avoid detection from, you know, walking down the hallway and having it hidden in the cuff of your shirt, or walking to the bus and sharing it with a friend. It's just too simple, and it's too hidden, where it's not like it was, you know, if I had a tobacco or nicotine addiction in the 80s, I wasn't lighting up a cigarette in a classroom. I'd be seen. I'd be caught. This is a bit more stealth. So I think it's easier for children to say, oh, I'll give it a chance. And then, unfortunately, you're working on the dependency with nicotine afterwards. And it's just a terrible cycle to try to break.
So by treating it as an addiction, does that mean that students who are caught vaping in school will not be punished for it in any way?
So that's going to be our intention, to have progressive levels of attention to students who do, you know, violate these policies. I've used the words punitive and prescriptive. There are going to be prescriptive measures applied first, and it will include contacting parents, providing for our school staff counseling services. We're also looking to provide the opportunity for students and their families to select counseling services that they can manage and negotiate through their insurance. So we're taking and looking at this from all angles. I've reached out to the Department of Mental Health Addiction Services with the commissioner there just recently in an email to see if there's any possible resources to try to provide after school hours or weekend sessions, if there's any sort of grants. Just like the research is new, you could take to the internet and look for some sort of cessation programming for vaping, and it's virtually non-existent. Mm-hmm. So we as a nation and as educators and as just responsible members of the community, we need to start to come up with something to stop and correct this behavior.
There's a school district in Nebraska that has started randomly testing students for nicotine if they want to participate in extracurricular activities. Do you think that kind of thing is a good idea?
That's an interesting approach. I certainly can appreciate their want and desire to have the most healthy people. I do know that if you were talking about use of nicotine and cardiovascular health and wellness, the two don't go hand in hand. I also would just be careful looking at requesting any sort of samples from students and the legalities of it. It would certainly seem like there are a lot of hurdles there. But no, I think that it's a smart approach. It would just have to be careful and measured, I suppose.
And do you see marketing by the e-cigarette makers like Juul?
I have noticed that recently it has changed, and I know that there's new legislation and policy that's really working on doing that. In fact, I had reached out to one of the local legislators recently to see what's the extent of the potential limitation on packaging and marketing to the youth. But just walking into any of the local stores, I noticed that the flavors, you know, with those masking chemicals to hide the nicotine delivery, they certainly seem to have changed. The packaging has changed, or it's absent. So I think that's a step in the right direction. But as I mentioned before, and as we all know, our young people are going to be seeking this out. So the flavors might be gone. The packaging might be a bit more drab. But the students are going to have the dependency on that nicotine. They're going to find it. And we need to figure out how to stop that.
That's Raymond Meka, who's the principal at Stamford High School in Connecticut, where they are treating vaping as an addiction, not just bad behavior that needs to be punished. Principal Meka, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.